From the KCPW Dankers Studios at Library Square, this is Downtown SLC, a show that explores the people, places, and events shaping Utah's urban center. The Downtown Master Plan went to the Planning Commission, where it was unanimously approved last week. This is a planning document that will shape the future of downtown for the next two decades. Joining me today is Molly Robinson, the urban designer for Salt Lake City, and it was her job to solicit community feedback, talk about the future of our downtown area, work with more than 1,000 people over several years to come up with a vision for the future of downtown. Molly will join me to talk about the Downtown Master Plan and the role of urban design in helping to build a downtown that is dynamic and diverse and a place that truly belongs to the people across the state. All of that after this news from the BBC. Welcome back. You're listening to Downtown SLC on KCPW. I'm your host, Jason Mathis, with the Downtown Alliance. Joining me today is my friend, Molly Robinson. Molly is the urban planner for Salt Lake City. Is that the correct title?
Urban designer.
Urban designer for Salt Lake City.
So we have many planners, but yes.
You're the only designer.
The only one with the official title of urban designer.
Urban designer. And so Molly has been working for not just 1 year, but multiple years on the Downtown Master Plan. So we want to talk about that a little bit today, but then also I want to talk more broadly about urban design. As our city matures, it feels like that becomes even more relevant, and we think about sort of the kind of city that we want and where we want to go as a community. And Molly is really playing a critical role in making that happen. So Molly, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me,
Jason.
As
our first ever Salt Lake City urban designer, the one and only that we've ever had. let's start out talking a little bit about that. So what is urban design? I think people might intuitively have some ideas about that, but it's an unusual profession. It's not like a baker or a banker or a lawyer. It's kind of a niche profession. What is it that you do as an urban designer?
That's an interesting question, an interesting way that you came at it, because some folks might say that urban design isn't really a profession in and of itself. Mm-hmm. Typically, it is a practice within architecture, within planning, and within landscape architecture. So very often you'll find someone who qualifies himself as an urban designer has a background in one or multiple of those three professions, mm-hmm. architecture, landscape architecture, and planning. My background is specifically in planning, though my focus has always been in urban design. Urban design is really where these three different professions meet.
All come together.
So it's about building height, design, massing, how the building shapes the public realm. Urban designers are very concerned about what is happening in the public realm, what's happening between buildings.
So
how do those buildings shape the public realm?
What is the public realm? So that sounds almost medieval. What is the public realm?
So the public realm is typically understood as what's between the buildings.
Okay.
So yes, it is the street, it's the sidewalk, it's the parks, it's the alleys.
Sort of the connection points that connect the
It's
place.
That interface between the private building and the public right-of-way or sidewalk.
So public realm is just space that the public owns and operates and that connects everything together.
Yes. But I mean, the public space really derives a lot of its character and function from what's happening on the private property. So as an urban designer, we are concerned with both and how the private development is shaping and shadowing and forming the public realm, because it's not just kind of the single plane of what's happening at the ground level, but what's happening above that. How tall are the trees? Are there trees? What kind of trees? How many trees?
Right.
We love trees.
Trees are good. Trees are really good. So if you think about that, I walk every place downtown. I don't have a car, so I'm either on my green bike or I'm walking around downtown. And there are some streets that are really pleasant to walk down. Like, I love Main Street. Main Street is shady. There's interesting stuff happening. You know, you can ride your bike on it. Cars don't go very fast. Tracks, trains will come by. There's people sitting out at cafes. Like, it's an interesting, compelling place to walk. I hate walking on State Street. Like, it is uncomfortable. It's unpleasant. You're really close to fast-moving traffic. There's not a lot of shade, not a lot of interesting stuff going on. I mean, there are restaurants. Alamexo is there, and the Marriott City Center, and there's a little courtyard and Toasters, and then there's – but it's not a comfortable street. And I'm guessing that that urban design has helped to make Main Street what it is, and a lack of maybe urban design or thought about that experience on State Street has helped to make State Street what it is.
Yes. So one of the interesting little factoids that nobody believes me when I say this, and I really want to have like a little public event activity where we go out and measure the right-of-way. Mm-hmm. The right-of-way, so the between property lines on Main Street and between property lines on State Street, that's the right-of-way.
Okay. Between buildings or between
like between the property lines. So sometimes the building is right at the property line, and sometimes it's set back a little bit.
Okay, got it.
So truly from the property line, but very often on Main Street in particular, the building is built right to the property line.
Sure.
So
in an urban environment, that kind of happens a lot, right?
Right.
Like people build up as much as they can.
Exactly.
The land is expensive.
And so when this city was platted by Brigham Young and his associates, it was platted with 132-foot right-of-ways. Mm-hmm. So from property line to property line, it's 132 feet.
So from the side of one building, private property on one side, all the way across the street.
So that 132 feet is the same on Main Street, mm-hmm. State Street, 2nd East, 3rd East, mm-hmm. 1st South, 2nd South, 3rd South.
It's a grid.
It's consistent. It's a grid. Our blocks are 660 feet on each side. And then our rights of way are 132 feet. That grid shifts when you start moving beyond, particularly the downtown, 9th South.
Right.
That grid shifts to what was the old agricultural grid, so it's a little bit different, and the rights of way aren't as large anymore, and the blocks get mm-hmm. all chopped up and different. However, that 132 feet, so that's what I want to have this public event, and I want to be the measurement.
You want to measure.
I'm 5'8" tall. So how many of me does it take?
You're going to actually
lying
lay down,
down
in the street.
On a sidewalk wow. and across the street from across Main Street.
You know how to party. Thing. You know how to have a party.
I do.
Okay. But you want to show people.
I want to show people that it's the same.
Yeah.
Regardless of whether you're on Main Street or State Street, it's the same distance. But you're right. They feel so different.
Yeah. And they're just one block apart. It's so
interesting.
They're
just one block apart. Yeah. Main Street has been able to maintain a more continuous street frontage. Mm-hmm. So the building's coming right up to the property line, continuous from the corner to the next corner to the north and south. Main Street has traditionally been kind of the commercial core of mm-hmm. the city. So, you know, you'll have maybe your more successful businesses there in the
State Street
past.
Too,
and then
State Street's like a UDOT street. Like, it's actually controlled by the state. And
so,
they have an interest in a lot more traffic running through. They're hesitant to, make the lanes smaller or make the sidewalks bigger. Or, I mean, I know there's a host of complicated reasons why State Street hasn't evolved in the same way.
Well, and when you think about the role that Main Street plays mm-hmm. versus State Street, State Street is a regional axis mm-hmm. With the Capitol at one end and, a mall at the far other end.
Right.
It's a very ceremonial axis. Mm-hmm. When the city and county building was built, for example, the front door, the address for the city and county building is actually on State Street.
It's 451 East.
Yeah, 451 South State Street.
It was built to be kind of a grand boulevard.
It really was.
Phrase.
Yeah, the intent of State Street is much more ceremonial, whereas Main Street is Main Street. Main Street USA.
Yeah.
So it has that little bit more of the day-to-day life. It's mm-hmm. not a ceremonial street. It's a day-to-day kind of street.
Yeah.
So when you think about, the relationship between what we'll talk about a little bit later with the downtown plan and downtown as kind of this international destination versus downtown on a day-to-day basis for the people that live and work here in our downtown every day, we have this kind of dichotomy of identity for the two streets, but also for our downtown, and we need to kind of accommodate both.
Right.
Downtown, because it is a signature place for our city, it's our capital city in our state, it plays a larger role even in, the Intermountain West region. We have this kind of two faces to our image, and both of which are really important and both of which need to be supported.
So we are going to take just a quick break. Mm-hmm. When we come back, we're going to talk specifically about how all of these design principles, and I know there are thousands more, but, how design has affected downtown and our aspirations with the downtown master plan for moving forward. So we will be right back after these messages. We are back. You're listening to Downtown SLC on KCPW. I'm your host, Jason Mathis, with the Downtown Alliance, joined today by my friend Molly Robinson. Molly is the urban designer for Salt Lake City, the first urban designer we've had in Salt Lake City. Molly has just completed a large and arduous project made not less challenging by the Downtown Alliance and our many, many suggestions. The Downtown Master Plan just got approved unanimously by the Planning Commission and will now move on to the City Council. Molly, can you talk a little bit, take us through why we do a master plan and what the Downtown Master Plan is supposed to be?
So there's multiple reasons why we plan. Mm-hmm. One of the reasons why we plan is because we have a vision. And we want to get that vision down on paper or digitally.
Mm-hmm. In today's world, digitally.
In today's world. Yeah. But we want to record it in some way, for not just for posterity, but to share that vision we're building that vision collectively as a community and sharing that, building our ideas upon it and gathering support for that vision and hopefully getting to some semblance of that vision over time.
Because we all want to be moving in the same direction. We want
exactly.
to know where we're headed as a community.
So one of the reasons why we plan is because we have a vision. Okay. Another reason why we plan is because we have a mandate. Mm-hmm. So the state legislature, for example, has regulated that cities and towns should have a general plan to direct growth and development in their municipality. Mm-hmm. We have the Downtown Master Plan. We have a larger citywide plan that's also in draft form and is kind of awaiting, now it's a little bit further ahead, but it's awaiting adoption by the City Council. Mm-hmm. That's called Plan Salt Lake. That is definitely more of like a vision level plan
for
the whole city. Yeah. Really captures a lot of different ideas, from economic development to sustainability to parks and education and social justice issues. But that's a much higher level kind of philosophical kind of plan. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Kind of the next level down from that are our community plans. So the downtown plan is one of those community level plans. The community level plans get more into kind of the nitty gritty of
kind
the
of
details,
the
nuts and bolts. Yeah. It gets into like initiatives and projects and catalytic things that we think are going to bring us to that big vision for the neighborhood, mm-hmm. the downtown community area. And then from that, building all these different community plans together, like the West Side Plan or the Sugar House Master
sure.
Plan.
Each neighborhood.
All of those combined will get us to that larger city Plan Salt Lake vision.
So what are you the most proud of in the Downtown Master Plan?
I'm proud of a lot of things in the Downtown Plan. I should back up and say that I started working on this project over 3 years ago,
yeah.
Shortly after I started here as the urban designer. And we had a lot of kind of internal and some preliminary, you were involved in that, preliminary stakeholder conversations about what this process was going to be like, mm-hmm. how we can get people involved in it.
All the outreach
efforts. What our expected outcomes were and what we wanted to get down. One of the things I'm very proud of is that process. Mm-hmm. We engaged over 1,000 individuals in the process for the downtown plan over a 2+ year process. And we counted that as individuals, not mm-hmm. just we counted 1,000 comments, because one person could come in and give 50 comments.
Right.
We essentially got to about 1,000 people and that was our goal. And then the comments kind of kept coming in after that. We had a number of different events that we organized that I think are cutting edge kind of public participation processes that I haven't heard of anyone else doing.
Which is that kind of hallmark. I mean, that's a hallmark of Salt Lake City, that the city really does care about outreach and public process and trying to make sure that everyone's voice is heard,
And some of the things that we were doing, I think, are, for one, they're attracting national attention. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've gotten calls from Boise, from D.C. I've talked to people in Seattle, Portland, and elsewhere around the country about the kinds of public processes that we're doing, and not just going out and doing one of those, but we
right.
did like 8 of them.
Right.
So just to give you an example, one of the processes that we undertook was the living room social mm-hmm. effort. What we did is we opened it up to the public and we said, okay, you know, Jason, You're a champion of the downtown. Would you be willing to host some neighbors and friends, yeah. family members at your house for a party? This is your party, not my party, your party. And we're going to come and we're going to kind of be, I don't want to say we're the entertainment for right. the evening, but we were kind of the basis of the conversation for that evening. We talked a little bit in the beginning about what some of the issues were in the downtown, some of the things that we want the plan to address. Mm-hmm. We talked about kind of what people's vision is for the downtown moving forward and what have you, and then let people work together in small groups to come up with some more detailed examples of what they think we should do in the downtown. So we did 12 of those living room socials. We also did a similar program for businesses, specifically mm-hmm. in the downtown. Living room socials were open to any resident of the whole city, mm-hmm. Understanding that the downtown is...
really is owned by everybody.
Exactly.
Yeah, it really is a place that everybody should be comfortable.
So our similar program for businesses were for businesses just within the downtown. We called that the Brown Bag Lunch Series. Same exact program,
yeah.
you know, just different kind of groups of people. And we did 18 of those. And this was over a two-month period.
Yeah.
So this was the fall of 2013. We were very busy because we also did countless festivals and events. We
had soliciting input
and not just getting people to respond to something that we were presenting, but getting their kind of original thoughts about issues and visions.
So we've only got a couple minutes left. What does the plan say?
Well, I knew you were going to ask me that.
Yeah.
Here's the big thing. The vision that we talk about in the downtown plan is for downtown to be the premier center for sustainable urban living, commerce, and cultural life in the Intermountain West.
That's really what we hope to achieve.
That's a big vision, and the plan starts to detail how we're going to get to that vision and the different big catalytic projects, smaller initiatives, maybe things within City Hall that need to change. It talks a lot about the importance of public-private partnership.
Mm-hmm. You guys added a ton of stuff about economic development, too, that we asked for, which I thought was really helpful.
So the plan really calls for growing downtown's role as, you know, as a major economic engine and a major player, not just in the region, but on a global stage. Mm-hmm. We live in a global society now, and downtown has a role to play in the global marketplace, and the downtown plan sets up downtown to fulfill that vision. Attracting new businesses, growing more local businesses, helping local businesses thrive and succeed in the downtown. Mm-hmm. Really, economic development is a cornerstone of any downtown and certainly is of our downtown.
Yeah.
And so that's really what we talk about a lot throughout the plan, about the importance of environmental sustainability, mm-hmm. and how to incorporate a better relationship between nature and the urban environment.
Mm-hmm. Tons of work
on pulling
residents.
Those things in.
You did a lot of stuff with residents and thinking about how do we, you know, create a downtown that works for people at all income levels, all ages of life.
Yes, we talk a lot about, you know, all ages and stages. Mm-hmm. There's a little thing in planning that we really need to be designing our cities to work from people from age 7 to 70.
Yeah.
And, you know, obviously it expands both directions beyond
sure.
that. But initially we had a lot of more specific language about accommodating for specific age groups within that. And then that, through the public process, changed to more all ages. So
right.
working for all ages. We do focus a little bit more specifically on accommodating families in the downtown, mm-hmm. because they're an underrepresented.
We don't have a lot of families, but
exactly.
that would change the dynamics of downtown.
It would change in positive ways. Yeah, it would change the dynamics. And there's a lot of interest. One of the key lessons from all the public outreach we did was, I want to live downtown. I have a family. I couldn't find a place
yeah.
to live. And I want my kids to have that urban experience.
Yeah.
I moved here from, you know, XYZ,
big city, yeah.
other big city. And, you know, I'm searching for that urban experience, and that goes for, you know, for housing, but it goes for many other aspects of downtown life.
Yeah.
And that's what the downtown plan is hoping to get us to, is that real urban life aspect.
So Molly, where can people go if they want to see the downtown plan as it currently exists, as it's working its way to the city council?
Sure. As you mentioned, the last week the Planning Commission recommended the plan to the city council for adoption. The draft that they saw last Wednesday, August 26th, is available at downtownplanslc.com.
Okay.
And you can click there. You can read about all the different background information, all the changes that we went through, particularly over the last year plus.
Yeah.
Lots of changes. And I think at the end of the day, we have a plan that I know Downtown Alliance supports and the community supports. And that gives us a better plan. That gives us the best plan we can get in front of the city council for adoption.
Well, we agree. And I will just say, too, this is not the heart of the plan, but you did such a beautiful job. It's really a beautiful document. If people just want to have a coffee table book of downtown and what it looks like, you use beautiful photography, great charts, great graphs. It really is an interesting read. And anybody who cares about downtown and the downtown we hope to create over the next two decades, this is the guiding document for that. So it's really important. And we do really appreciate your efforts and really feel like it's a great plan. A fantastic job. You hit it out of the ballpark.
And we really appreciate that support. And I know the community really appreciates that support. And any community member that's out there that sees the plan and is excited about what it says, you know, we're always looking for additional comments, letters of support, endorsement to move this plan along. I know there's been some strong interest in seeing that happen. You can email me if you have a specific comment and you want to make sure it gets to the city council, as we're kind of in this interim stage before they get the official draft plan and start their own process of adoption. You can email me at molly.robinson@slcgov.com. If you want to share your thoughts on the plan, that'd be a great way to do that.
Great. Molly, thanks so much for coming in today, and thanks for all your work on the Downtown Master Plan and helping to build a dynamic and diverse city. I think we're moving in the right direction.
Well, thank you, Jason, and I look forward to the next 20-25 years of implementing this plan.
It's going to take a while, but we got a plan now.
I got a little work to do.
We got a plan. You've been listening to Downtown SLC on KCPW. You can join us every Thursday at 10 a.m. where we discuss the people, places, and events shaping Utah's urban center.